Future-Proof Extra from Newstalk.
Now, we come across all kinds of people in our day-to-day lives. Most, in my experience, are pretty good people. But some can be tricky, evasive, blunt, secretive, rude, or downright awful. So where do all of these personalities actually come from? And what if I wanted to change mine? Is that even possible? Dr. Christian Jarrett, cognitive neuroscientist and deputy editor at psych.co, is the author of Be Who You Want, Unlocking the Science of Personality Change. He joins me now. Christian, how are you? This, to be honest, when the producer pitched this to me, I said, this sounds like snake oil, the idea of changing our personalities. So first, let me ask you, what are we talking about when we say personality?
Yeah, so I grounded my book in personality science, and personality psychologists and scientists, they distill personality down into five key traits, the so-called big five. There's openness to experience, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. So they're the kind of big five.
Right. So when do we start exhibiting something that we could describe as a personality? Because obviously as a baby, it seems like they're doing random stuff, right? At what age do our personalities start to emerge?
Well, actually, developmental psychologists say it emerges when we're babies.
Really?
They call it temperament. So they don't really call it personality. They talk about temperament. So things like how prone to crying a baby is, there's some evidence suggests that correlates later in life with, for example, neuroticism, you know, how emotionally unstable you are.
Really?
There's something they call effortful surgency. I think they call it surgency, which is how much the baby is, you know, driving to try and reach a toy or that kind of thing, how persistent they are. And that has some correlations with extroversion later in life. And there's also like a forerunner to kind of conscientiousness, like how much a baby stays focused on, for example, one thing at a time versus how much they sort of, their attention is grabbed by anything and everything. And there's some modest links between that and later life conscientiousness.
So what can we do to change our personalities? Because there's definitely times in my professional life when I feel like I should have just chilled out a bit more in that moment and just given the person the time to come to their own realization that they were wrong, rather than jump in and tell them they were wrong straight away.
Well, that sounds maybe like you're talking about trait agreeability then.
No, there's certainly everyone probably has times where they feel like they could be more agreeable, they could be more looking up, seeing the glass half full, that sort of thing. How can we consciously decide to change our personalities?
So the way I look at it is there are ways we can change ourselves from the inside out, so to speak, to begin with. So that would be things like, if you wanted to lower your neuroticism, there are kind of self-help techniques borrowed from psychotherapy that you could use to better calm your emotions and regulate your emotions, for example. And if you practice those techniques, so things like cognitive reframing, for example, which is, seeing a scary situation as exciting rather than as a threat, that kind of thing, or affective labeling, which is simply labeling the emotions we're feeling, it has been shown to take the intensity out of them. Another, for example, is if you're a chronic worrier, to set aside a certain amount of time each day reserved for your worrying.
Oh, that's quite fun. It's my worrying hour. Leave me alone.
there's a ton of these. Right. And I mean, research has shown after just a few weeks of psychotherapy, people's personalities change for the better.
Right.
Their neuroticism goes down, extroversion goes up. I guess my point is that by learning some of these techniques and skills, some will work for you, some won't, and making them habitual, then over time, gradually, it's going to take persistence. And I'm not saying it will be easy, but you can shift your trait scores. So we've been talking about neuroticism in the case of those kind of self-help techniques. So that's from the inside out. But then there are things you could do from the outside in, which would be things like being more mindful and intentional about the situations that we put ourselves in, for example.
Like thinking, okay, this person is bound to be angry. I need to be sensitive to what that is. You mean that sort of thing? And that, does that change your personality though?
So yeah, there's something called the situation selection strategy, which sounds super obvious, but there was a study where they coached one group of people before the weekend to be much more mindful about the situations they place themselves in, to think about which situations do I feel, is my mood happier and more positive in. The other group they just left that was like a control group. And those who were much more mindful and intentional about the situations they placed them in over the weekend showed over the course of that weekend, they sort of expressed the more positive sides of their personality. So again, if you can imagine living in that way more habitually, if you made that more of a habit, you could see the positive benefit bleed through to your personality over time.
I was listening to this interview where Seth Rogen was talking to Conan O'Brien, and he was talking about meeting Nicolas Cage for an audition. Seth Rogen was trying to cast somebody in this role, and Nicolas Cage came on and sort of acted like a black person in this role, and they felt like this is really not working at all. And so it was a bit awkward, and it was very clear Nicolas Cage did not get the part and that wasn't going to work. And afterwards, Nicolas Cage and Seth Rogen and the rest of the team were supposed to be having dinner, and Nicolas Cage just left. He just went. And Seth Rogen just stopped and said, "I have sat through so many dinners I didn't want to be there. I didn't realize that was an option. I didn't realize it was an option to just not do what everyone expects you to do when you say you're going to do it." And it kind of sounds like that's what you're saying, like that we choose to put ourselves in certain positions, and sometimes we just endure discomfort for various reasons when we could actually put ourselves in situations where we're more likely to be happy, and then we're more likely to express ourselves in a good way, and people will see us as nicer people.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of thing I'm getting at. Yeah, I mean, not at a more mundane level. For example, I used to spend, you know, quite a bit of time on Twitter, getting embroiled in Twitter spats and arguments and things. And I realized it just left me feeling really grouchy afterwards. And and I'm talking about sort of the things we do out of habit and routine, you know, and how they over time do shape us to an extent. And if you want to be, you know, an example that's a bit more dramatic, it would be, and again, this is thinking about how we can change ourselves from the outside in, so to speak. It would be the roles that we take on in life. So actually your job, it doesn't have to be an occupation, but the job that you do is going to have an influence on your personality traits. If you enjoy your job and it's clear what is expected of you and you're rewarded for performing well, you're going to probably see your trait conscientiousness increase. You know, you're going to be more willing to get up early in the morning for the job. You're going to prepare well and so on. It's going to bring out enhance that side of your character. Mm.
I wanted to ask you about the things that we can't change, like our name or how we look. Does that affect how people treat us? And if so, does that affect our personality? Like, are there any studies to show that if you change your name or have plastic surgery, that your personality changes too?
Well, it is a little bit controversial. There's some research that suggests even like what you wear can change you psychologically to an extent. It's called enclosed cognition. So there was a study found people were, when they dressed up in a like a laboratory
or something. Oh, lab coat, right.
Lab coat, yeah, their attention to detail was enhanced. There's other research suggests like, yeah, we are treated like if you wear a suit and you ask someone for a favor in public for change for the phone, or well, we don't really have public phones anymore, but those were old studies. You will be treated differently depending on how you dress. And you can imagine that sitting in train, a kind of dynamic where you feel differently about yourself. You feel more professional in a suit and what have you.
No, totally. I mean, like, I feel very different when I'm in a tracksuit. I feel ashamed and embarrassed and I don't want people to see me. It's true. And that absolutely would have an effect on how I treat other people. I mean, maybe it's not my personality, but I certainly don't say hello to neighbors, and I'm not outwardly seeking to have conversations with people. I'm walking the dog and I want nobody to see me and I'm going to go back home. But the question goes back to my original, which is it simply your personality is what you do to people outside?
So in the moment, in the situation, it's not personality, but over the long term, you see, if you change your habits and mix up your routines over the longer term and build up, you know, a succession of experiences that make you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And there's actually this concept of self-signaling as well. So, you know, if you get a smart haircut, dress more smartly, shine your shoes and so on, and you know, you make a habit of that, you get up early in the morning, an hour earlier than you used to. Over time, you are, for a start, you're signaling to yourself something about the kind of person you are or that you aspire to be.
Yeah.
Through force of habit and repetition, of course, you can start to make it feel habitual and more automatic. If you repeat it often enough, if it's for a cause or a goal or a value that you believe in, that's going to help, because then you're going to be more motivated. So that goes back to like the question of the job you have or what have you.
What if I change my name to Max Power or Slight Kerbopple Gum? Like, would either name make my personality change?
There are some findings that suggest our personalities are influenced by the names we're given, especially if our names are unpopular or rare or they have negative connotations. So there was quite a cruel dating study where they looked at the popularity of people's names and how much they were on a dating app, people wanted to go out with them. And yeah, people with less popular name, less trendy, you know, popular names tended to get rejected more often. And then the research has actually expanded out and looked at other aspects of these people's well-being, and they found they tended to be less confident. Their overall psychological well-being was lower. I mean, these aren't massive effects, but yeah, I mean, it does suggest that your name, if you do have a quirk, you know, particularly kind of quirky or unfashionable name for a given era, that
I'm going to get you to rate some of our listeners' names now, and you can tell them whether or not they're going to be successful and happy. Only kidding. You talked about these five personality traits. What about travel? I mean, that really speaks to the idea of being either, you know, having high openness or extroversion. Does that affect our personality? And when we come back from a trip abroad, are we forever changed?
Yeah. So there's some very encouraging research that was done with undergrad students, and those the researchers looked at those who spent had a year living abroad, like a kind of a sandwich course that they did. And those students, compared with their peers who just stayed at home for the whole course, those who had the year abroad, when they returned home, their personality traits showed some positive changes. They tended to be more extroverted. Their neuroticism was lower, suggesting greater emotional stability. And one way of looking at it is, of course, when we go away to a completely different environment and with different people, it forces us, you know, to mix up our routines in the way it kind of causes that disruption. It's very challenging. And then, so then when you return home, things that you maybe used to find daunting, they seem easy now, because compared with what you just, the challenges you were just confronted with.
Really interesting. Well, the book is called Be Who You Want, Unlocking the Science of Personality Change. The author is Dr. Christian Jarrett, cognitive neuroscientist. Christian, thanks very much for your time.
Oh, that was brilliant. Good to do it.